enjoyed that very much. Teach me how to pray. And it's good to see Miss Vicki Griffin, the other Vicki Griffin here tonight, and see them from back out of town. And I know we had several out of town Sunday. It was being prayer for our church family, kind of the last big hoorah before school got started. But school is underway. So here we go. Another fall. Just remember these in prayer. Remember our Master's Club will be starting up a couple of weeks. Remember them in prayer. I know they're in training tonight. And we still have some in discipleship tonight too. And so it's so good to see how the Lord continues to bless. Sunday having a soul saved and a family added to the church once again. And God's good. And of course the Hunsbergers, it's good to have them. They've been around a while, so it's good to see them come on. And sometimes they just got to really fill us out, I guess. You know, it takes them a little time to make sure that we're okay, I guess. But we're so glad they came to be a part of our church family. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 131. The book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 131. Very short psalm. And we're continuing our series of messages, topical messages on growing in the faith or spiritual growth. And real simple subject tonight, just maturing. That's really the title. The message is maturing. I'm doing that for Brother Adam Armstrong's sake. The title of the message is maturing. I meant to text him, but I forgot. For the title of the message. And there are no more, just announced to this crowd too, when you watch on the internet now, there's no more commercials. So everybody's glad of that. And we're glad the internet crowd is watching. Even though I never talk about them, but we're glad they're watching tonight. Appreciate them listening and watching the services. Psalm 131, verse 1. Listening and watching. Lord, Psalm 131, verse 1. I'm in a giddy mood tonight. Everybody see that already? It's my wife's birthday. I'm just kind of giddy today. I don't know why. Verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word and help us tonight. Lord, as we look into this subject of maturing, we know that's your goal and your hope for each of us. We pray, Lord, that we would mature and that we would continue to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If your Bible probably says at the top of that psalm that David wrote this. And just notice again, he's saying, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. The theme of this particular psalm is humility. And you say, well, how can... Because humility is one of those things that when you know you got it, you lose it. I mean, it's really a hard thing to express. And so the question would be, how can David write this and still be humble? And the answer is that this particular psalms were put together, a lot of them by Hezekiah. And this psalm was included 300 years after David had died. So no doubt David probably wrote this psalm. And though the Lord intended for it to be in the Scriptures, and it's there underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, amen? But we could say probably that David wrote this, not maybe ever intending for it to be in the public view, but it was. And it was given to the psalmist. It was given to the priest for the children of Israel to sing together. But it just really shows us the heart of King David. Think about it now. King David says, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. It's kind of real humble, isn't it? Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul even as a weaned child. And so we think about David, we think about his humility. For instance, the Bible tells us that when David went in as to sing for Saul, which was his first step into the palace, everybody remember that now, it wasn't necessarily the killing of the giant that brought David to the house of Saul, it was the singing with his harp that brought David the first time to Saul's home. And so David, the Bible says that David was wise. Let me clarify again, David had already been anointed. He is in the palace. You think he just kind of walked around and said, I'm the anointed one. I'm next. Saul, get out of the way. No, the Bible says he was very wise. And here we see David's heart. He just said, hey, I'm not haughty. You know, I don't think too highly of myself. He just behaved himself. He quieted himself. And so, but what a tremendous insight into David's character. We think about Moses, who was raised in the house of Pharaoh and had all that great education and really was a somebody. I mean, he was a somebody. He was the princess' son. He was a somebody for 40 years. But then for 40 years, he was a nobody. We mentioned this in the sermon last week. He was a nobody. He was a shepherd. He was the low of the low for 40 years. But God took that nobody and made him a somebody again. But can we say that absolutely it was God who made him the somebody? And when God does it, it totally transformed Moses' life. Growing in Christ. And there's we've already covered like 15 different subjects on this one subject. And literally, we could preach on this all year long. Different facets of growing. But just simply think about it. Growing and maturing. Growing and maturity. Humility is one of those things as Christians that we all need. That we all should have. Let me read you this one. Humility is having the ability, but just as happy in others' ability. So those, you know, you've heard people walk around and say, you know, or maybe you'll go to somebody and say, man, that was a great song. You have a wonderful voice. And say, oh, my voice stinks, you know, and they kind of look down at the ground. And you're like, come on, man, you've got a great voice. Or, you know, they downplay themselves. You ever seen that? You know what I'm talking about? That's not humility. Humility is understanding your abilities, and I want to cover all this in a moment, and knowing your abilities, but taking just as much joy in somebody else's ability, and somebody else's ability that may be better than yours. It's just, really, humility is not thinking of yourself at all. It's not necessarily thinking bad of yourself. It's not that. It's just thinking of others and taking joy and just wonderful joy in what others can do with the ability God has given them. All right? There's many, many different definitions of humility, and we've given y'all those over the years. In fact, some of y'all emailed me some, and I still remember those from like 2007. I'm looking at Miss Linda because she's one of the ones that sent me an email years ago. Humility, it's just a great subject. It really is. You ought to get to study it. We think about growing. A parent's goal for his child, or for the parent's goal for their children, is to grow. If a child doesn't grow, there's something wrong. All right? So we think about, again, a baby being born. And that's why, when we think about that spiritually, that we are babes in Christ. I know I'm going over the same stuff we've learned before. There comes a point where that baby is weaned. My wife, you know, got him off the bottle as soon as possible. I mean, she's feeding them like taters when they're 2 months old. I don't know, but I mean, just as quick as we can, we get our children off on solid food. And most parents, so that, I know the city doctors say that's bad, but y'all can go to your city doctors. And it's the same city doctors that say you can't bring your baby for 6 weeks to church. My opinion, I'm sorry, just my opinion. And but that baby, your goal is to wing them off. Man, there's some messed up people out there who won't, you know, allow their child to grow. Everybody with me? And so that's the goal. And God's goal, God's hope for each of us as Christians is that we mature and that we grow from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word to the strong meat. I mean, that is absolutely God's hope for each of us, and that we do make this maturing process. We think of spiritual maturity. And it's always good to remind ourselves that none of us have attained it. Paul says, I have not attained. And he was the apostle. He wrote over in half the New Testament. And he hasn't attained it. He didn't attain it. And neither can we until the Lord comes back one day. Amen. Until we're glorified. But we should be seeking it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. That's what Paul was seeking. He was seeking. He was pressing toward the mark. And that mark was to be like Jesus Christ. It was maturing in Jesus Christ. It was maturing in works and maturing as a child, as a baby, as a child into an adult. I love this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says, age versus maturity. Age is the quantity of years, while maturity is the quality of experience. Somebody can be up in years and not be mature. Hello? You ever seen a guy in his 40s and 50s with an earring in his ear and the ponytail, whatever? The guy hadn't grown up. I mean, I'm sorry. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Everybody with me? It's a sin for a man to have long hair. That's New Testament, not Old Testament. New Testament. Just want to set that down. Anyway, so the man hadn't grown up. We've seen men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that still haven't grown up. You say, well, why aren't you picking on the ladies? I don't know what the ladies, I guess maybe they don't mature either, but long hair, yeah. But you see it. You see it pretty often. We think about, again, that it's the quality of experience that matures us as we grow physically. Signs of maturity. Here's a few things for you. And this will be mostly thoughts tonight. I hope you can follow all of this. But signs of maturity. Number one, a sign of a person who is mature, they know themselves and accept themselves. You say, well, that sounds hyper-psychological. It just really means that you're comfortable with yourself. You know yourself. Number two, they don't try to convince others that there's something they're not. They don't try to convince others that they are something they are not. It would be like me getting into conversation with Brother Adam Armstrong and Brother Kistner and a couple others in here that work with computers, and I start trying to dialogue with them. You know what I'm saying? But I fake it the entire time. I mean, I start pulling out stuff like, you know, RAM and hard drives and zip drives, and I'm pulling out all the words, you know what I'm saying? Because I know a lot about it. And I cared this much about it. But I start trying to get in the conversation. It's like sitting down with an engineer who works for Lockheed or works for Bell and try to carry on a conversation about their job and think that I know anything about their job. You don't know anybody who does that? Oh, my goodness. You know, there's a bunch of them out there, isn't there? I mean, really. Think about it for a moment. I mean, there's names right now of people that are popping in my head right now. Of people that are just a bunch, you know, just love to talk and think they could just cover any subject in the world. I've gotten a few conversations with people who thought they knew the Bible. I'm like, okay, you know. All right. This doesn't resonate with anybody? I just want to make sure everybody kind of not, in other words, a mature person doesn't do that. A mature person is comfortable with themselves. You know, they know what they know. I know what I know. Now I'm trying to grow in my knowledge of whatever subject it may be. You know that phrase, the jack of all trades, the master of none? You know, that's actually not the quote. The quote is, the jack of all trades and the master of one. A man is supposed to know a little about much, a lot about one thing. It's kind of one of those things I grew up with. I don't know if I know a lot about one thing yet or not. But you've been around people like that. Signs of maturity, they understand their feelings and are sensitive to others. They understand their own feelings, understand their own, emotions. I understand my emotions. I know what kind of emotional person I am. I'm not very emotional most of the time. But whether you're a man or a woman, you know, it doesn't really matter. Some men are very emotional. Some women are very emotional. Hang on. A lot of women are very emotional. Some men are very emotional. You know, but you know where you're at. At my age, 37, most of your ages that are in here, maybe some of these college career class guys, maybe not. But, I mean, you get pretty comfortable with where you're at emotionally. Everybody laying back on their psychology couch? Everybody with me? Everybody feel like you're watching a Joel Osteen show or something? But the road to maturity, can I tell you again, it's about experience. A famous message was given years ago. It was called, bumps are what you climb on. Bumps are what you climb on. In other words, as you climb, as you mature, it's the bumps that are required to climb over. And as we are, it's those trials, those testings, those experiences that help us to mature. A person won't mature without them. And so absolutely, we are each of us seeking to mature physically in the area of maturity when it comes to our jobs and our families and our emotions and all of these things. But can I tell you, more, just lay that aside, all the things I've just said for the last 5 minutes, and say your spiritual maturity is as important or maybe more important. We absolutely ought to just beg God, say, Lord, help me to grow. Lord, help me. When I read my Bible, Lord, help me to understand. I want to grow. I want to be like Jesus. I want to grow in Christ. Because that is God's hope for each of us, is that we would mature from that milk, meat, and strong meat. Maturing people, as I said, know themselves. How? How do we know ourselves? There are several ways in which we know this. We know this by through relationships. One of them, the most important relationship we have, is our relationship and should be with Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to mature as people, we should know ourselves. And the only way we are truly going to know ourselves is having that relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how do we know that? Because the Word of God says that the Word is sharper and powerful and sharper than any two-edged, seeking even dividing asunder, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and intent of the heart. In other words, it's the Word of God as you read it that really knows you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that really knows who you are. I mean, my wife, we've been married 19 years, and she knows me really good. She knows me better than anyone else, right? But there's somebody who knows me better than her. The Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read my Bible, He speaks to me. And can I tell you, He's always honest. You know? He's always honest. So that relationship, the relationship with others, is very helpful in our maturing process. Friends that will be truthful to us. Friends who will speak the truth in love. Friends that will be honest with us. Right? I'm not like these guys that, you know, that Bryant hangs around with on the Dallas Cowboys. You know, guys that just be yes people and just tell him what he wants to hear. And, you know, oh yeah, you look cool with your pants hanging down the ground. You know, you look cool with those earrings on. I mean, guys that just tell him what he wants to hear. And he'll continue to be immature. Amen. Guy won't grow. But if you've got a few friends, you know, that'll tell you that you got something hanging on your nose, you know, those kind of friends. You know, honestly, you got friends that'll say, hey, why'd you say that to your wife? I'm talking about couples that hang out together. A friend will say, hey, why did you say that to her? You shouldn't have said that to her. You shouldn't have treated her that way. You know, a friend who will be honest with you and not create, as we think about, I think the best illustration is the sports divas. Sports divas get anything they want, where they want, how they want, and they're just immature idiots. And some of your kids got their posters up on the wall. Not our crowd. I know it's not our crowd, but internet crowd, all right? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we think about, again, maturing, knowing yourself. These are ways in which we know ourselves. Through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is honest with us. Personal relationships where we have friends who could be honest with us. And our responses to circumstances in life. In other words, what makes us laugh? What makes us cry? What makes us angry? What makes us sad? Our responses to the circumstances in our life is a part of that, knowing where we're at, knowing where our maturity level is at. In other words, when I lose a loved one, I mean, do I crumble and fall and just totally break up? I mean, right? A spiritually mature person who knows that person's in heaven will not sorrow as others who have no hope. I mean, they'll realize that it's not about why God, but it's about who's in charge. You don't have to know why when you know who. And I'm not saying we shouldn't cry. Absolutely, crying is a natural process that God has given us, and we should be sad. But I'm talking about people who are Christians, who claim to be children of God, and yet can't handle themselves in some kind of demeanor, in some kind of peaceful fashion, that peace that passes all understanding, and be that testimony to people around them when a loved one passes away. You say, preacher, man, you know, it was my mother, or it was my dad, or it was my daughter. I mean, I've had two daughters pass away. You know, I think we talked about this last week. Death is a great time to be a testimony to the people around you. One of the best times. I said, man, how can you go through this? You know, how can the Wildmans go through this? How can they do that? How can they come to church Sunday, this last Sunday, and bring Morgan with them? And I know they're sad. I know things going through their minds. But look at their demeanor. Right? And you see people who are solid like that, and it says a lot. It says a lot about their maturity. I'm not talking about themselves as a person. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. You can only have that demeanor as a spiritual person. It's the Lord that gives that demeanor. It's the Lord that gives that. Maturity, people know themselves. Maturity, people accept themselves. And this has been preached on all my life. You know, God didn't make nobody, you know, God didn't make no junk. I remember hearing that as a kid. As a kid, I was small and I was just, my dad, many of you have heard this before. I know you get tired of hearing some of this. But my dad called me Runt. That was my name. Come here, Runt. And probably till I was about Micah's age, around 10 or 11. And I remember, you know, my dad tells me the story all the time. I don't remember when I told him, but Dad tells me the story. He said, you came to me one day and you said, and I called you Runt. Come here, Runt. And I said, Daddy, I don't like to be called a Runt. And my dad just kind of paused for a little bit and said, you know, I shouldn't be calling my son a Runt. And he said, how about calling you Little Big Boy? And I said, that's fine. That'd be great. And so, you know, we think about accepting ourselves for who we are. In other words, I can't change my talent. There's some people in this auditorium who do not need to be singing in the choir. I know who you are. One of them is in green with a striped shirt over there going this direction, wearing glasses. John Reed does not need to be in the choir. He knows it. You say, preacher, you shouldn't point somebody out in public. He knows it. I'm just messing with him. But he knows it. He's tone deaf. My music teacher just tell me, nobody's tone deaf. Nobody's, that's a lie. There are people who are tone deaf who just can't get it. You don't need to be singing, you know your abilities. Pastored a small church. And one of the things when you're pastoring a small church, you have a limited amount of people to sing specials. And one of my things as a pastor was, I'm not going to let somebody get up and make themselves look bad. I'm just not going to do it. It's not good for them. It's not good for the church. And so there's been times, even in this church's history, where I've not confronted, but had to tell somebody, hey, I just don't think you should sing from the platform. Now, when we have a special singing on Sunday afternoon, I don't care who sings. But you know what I'm saying? You need to accept the abilities God has given you. A mature person accepts their abilities. They know their abilities that God has given them. They know the talents He's given them. And they accept it. They're okay with it. Right? And so we think about that. A person who is mature accepts their body. I mean, accepts the way God made them. This is some issues we're having today, big time, with girls especially. With young girls who do look at the magazines and do look at the others and say, I wish I looked like that. Bull. You accept how God has made you. Amen. We have, of course, most of you know, we have three boys. Caleb, Joshua, and Micah. Each one of them are different. Right? I mean, we're pretty well sure that Caleb's going to be skinny and, you know, it's just what he's going to be. He needs to accept it. I told each of my boys, you accept the way God has made you. Joshua's going to be some monster. Everybody get ready. They're up there. I wouldn't be talking maybe this genuine. They can go watch it on the internet. But Joshua's going to be a monster. He is. You can already tell it, man. Gained 30 pounds in the last 6 months. The kid is going to be a monster. We don't know about Micah yet. But you need to accept the body type that God gives you. All right? So maybe you weren't made to be a football player. Maybe you need to be a basketball player or a baseball player. You know, it is an issue today. More so than ever. And we needed to teach our children and grandchildren, hey, God didn't make no junk. God made you the way you are. You have that nose for a reason. It's a Crawford nose. We tell our kids to be proud of it. Absolutely. We make fun of it. We make it a joke. I mean, accept the way you are. Cosmetic surgery, unless you need it for medical reasons. Accept who you are. Accept the way God has made you. But we're always willing to improve in the areas where you can. I don't care what anybody says, your memory can improve. Brain is a muscle that can, you memorize. The more you memorize, the better you get at it. Everybody with me? And really, to a certain extent, no matter your age. I know some of you may differ with me, but there are certain things you can improve at. You can improve in your reading skills. You can improve in your math skills. You can improve in some of these other areas that we teach our children from. But there's certain talents, certain things that God has given certain people, and you just need to be okay with it. That's a sign of maturity. Accept it. In other words, change the things you can change, accept the things you can't. I can't change this nose. I guess I could if I went and had surgery, but I'm proud of this nose. I accept it. What did Paul say? Whatever state you are that you're in, therewith to be content. I don't think that's just talking about your job. You know, your goal could be to get a better job. But your goal at the age of 37 can't be that you be 6 foot tall. You can't change your stature. I'm 5 foot nine. It's just what I am. A lot of people sometimes tell me I'm 5 foot ten. I'm 5 foot nine. I don't care how bad I wanted to be 6 foot. It just didn't happen. Maturity. Maturity. A sign of maturity is an appetite for the things of God. This is something we have covered. It's an appetite for the Word of God. Hebrews. I'm going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. By the way, when I gave you 3 points earlier, I meant to give you the outline to Psalm 131. I didn't do it. That's okay. Hebrews. Now I'm shuffled. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Also Hebrews 6 just says, verse 1 says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So Paul's encouraging these Hebrew Christians, as we've been studying on Sunday night, to go forward, not to go back. And he is saying to them, hey, there are some who are still babes, some who are still sucking on, you know, on the milk and not getting and not getting strong meat. We need to go forward. Let me just give you a couple of things about milk. The milk of the Word is the basic truths, those basic oracles of God it mentions here. Basics of truth are these: the works of Christ, His birth, His life, His teachings, His death, His resurrection. These are basics that a lot of us learned in Sunday school from the time we were two or three years old all the way up. And they are important. Amen. Without those, we have no salvation. They're very important. It's important for you to understand the virgin birth. It's important for you to understand that this is the inspired and errant Word of God. It's important for you to understand that Christ is coming back someday. It's important you understand the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. All these things are very important. They're fundamental to the faith. But for the most part, that's not meat. That's down there on the bottom shelf where everybody can get it. That's why we don't have to be theologians to get saved. That's why a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old can get saved. But when we come as Christians and we mature as Christians, we ought to be going forward in our maturity in Jesus Christ, and we ought to be feeding on some meat. And the meat would be things like His works now. I even as I'm preaching, I can tell it. I mean, I can preach certain subjects But when I preach on a certain subject like what Christ is doing now, that He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, and the things He's doing for us now, there are some whose eyelids just kind of, the eyeballs become glassy. They don't mind you talking about the exciting things, maybe, that has happened in the past, or even talking about prophecy. But you talk about Christian growth. Actually, you talk about some of the things we're talking about on Sunday night. You know, Hebrews, some of those stuff that just gets down there a little deep. Man, glassy eyeballs everywhere. I mean, some of those things, in other words, some doctrines, some teachings, you just have to think. You have to engage your mind. You have to sometimes will yourself to listen. I'm just telling you flat out, sometimes I'm going to be boring on Sunday night. It's just going to happen from time to time. Because some of that stuff is just very intense, very detailed. I don't want to be boring any time. But man, that meat is something. We need to go on from being just surviving on the milk and get on the meat. It's about His work now in heaven. It's about what His people are doing now. What we should be doing now. How we should be living now. We've been teaching that again on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights about coming from justification, sanctification to glorification. And when we get on the sanctification issue, where we are at right now, from glory to glory, right? And we are right now, it's a hard, some of that's very hard to understand. And we have to concentrate and realize that many times we are. When Brother Stewart comes, I'm telling you right now, you're going to get some meat. It's just going to happen. And I still, nearly every year, I'll get somebody say to me, "Preacher, I just didn't understand half of what he said." I say, "Well, get what you can." I mean, his whole intent and purpose is to come to stretch you. And from time to time, I do that as well. It's good for us. Be stretched a little bit. Losing my crowd. Let's go on. Maturity understands teamwork. Listen to this one. Maturity understands teamwork. Well, this is an area every church could improve on. The Corinthian church, Paul wrote them. And by the way, when Paul wrote the Corinthian church, which is 1 and 2 Corinthians, we call them the first and set of corrections when he's correcting that church. But you'll notice at the beginning of the book, he calls them the church of God. They are a church. They're a church with problems. They're a church with schisms. And you think about it for a moment, they were fighting like children. You read it. They were fighting like children. "Well, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of this guy." And I mean, just selfish to the T. "Well, I have the gift of tongues, and I have the gift of prophecy, and I'm better than you." You know, that's what they were doing. It was all about me. It's all about what I have, what God's given me, the talents God's given me. I want the attention. Me, 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 me. Right? Maturity is being serious about God's work and able to work with others to get the job done. Working together. A good soldier works together. Right? Follows orders. Works together. A good athlete works together with his team. I'll use a good sports analogy for some of you. I mean, I know the Mavericks had Dirk, but I mean, for the most part, they were a team that won. Probably one of the first NBA title teams that's won in a long time with only one guy star. But it was mainly it was them working together. It was old school basketball. And really had become to a time where they thought, well, old school basketball will never come back. But it has. The European teams are bringing it back and so forth. I don't want to know all about that, do you? But this teamwork. The Mavericks won because they were a better team because they worked together. The Miami Heat had better players. Anybody want to know this analogy? I'm losing some of you. But the analogy absolutely works. Mavericks were a better team because they worked together. I have no doubt there are probably some people on the Mavericks who didn't like each other. But you never really heard about it. You hear about it on the Heat. You heard about those. And some of the other teams. You see what I'm saying? Can I just tell you, there'll be times when there's people in this church who may get under your skin a little bit. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There may be somebody in the church who you have a personality clash with. Can I say it doesn't matter? Your job isn't to please them anyway. Your job is to please the Heavenly Father. And our goal is still the same. Still reach people for Jesus Christ. And just because you may not like this person or may not like that person doesn't mean you can't work with them to fulfill the purpose that God has given us. And can I say a sign of maturity is that you can put up with that person. That we are to forbear each other, put up with each other. A sign of immaturity, and an immature church is a church that fights and just schisms all over because nobody wants to work with each other because I'm better than that person or I can do this better and the pastor didn't shake my hand, preacher didn't pat me on the back, preacher didn't tell me good job. What else? I worked for a pastor who said, I never tell anybody they've done a good job. He never told anybody that, ever. He says, because of what the flack you get from those you may miss. I said, I don't want to ever be that way. But I can see why. Because you do get flack. You said, preacher, you missed me. Okay, I'm sorry. But listen, it has nothing to do with the goal. This works in the working world as well, especially in this day and age. I was just over at a family's house, and we were talking about that he has to work with, actually we were talking about that here, he has to work with people who are really messed up morally, and he can't say anything about it. You know, having a cross-dresser at your work, you can't say anything or you get fired, that type of thing. Can you still work with them? Absolutely yes. Because you have a goal and you have a goal. You have a set goal that somebody's given you that you've got to produce this product or do this thing. Now, hopefully we have no he, she's in here. Okay? Immorality going on. But we can work together. Even though sometimes there's conflicting personalities and so forth. Everybody with me? A sign of maturity is that you can work with people in the church whom you may not necessarily get along with if you're out in the real world. Because our Heavenly Father loves us. He's the general. We simply do what we're told. We do the purpose that God has intended us for to do. Reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen? And let me just again encourage you. We are to love each other. Love hides a multitude of sins. And one of the greatest signs of maturity in a Christian life is their ability to love others in spite of what may happen or what may have happened. Well, preacher, you don't know. They hurt me or they did this or they did that. Listen, just fulfill the purpose God has given us. Reach people for Jesus, and all those other things will just fade away. Those are secondary issues. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Teachers, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Win people to Jesus, baptize them, and disciple them. And all these peripheral things will just go away. Let's march together, work together as a team. We are laborers together with God. Mature people are serious about God's work, and they get the job done. No me, no my views, no my way, no my feelings, but labor together with God, working together. Let's all stand. Have a time of invitation. And no way got to finish this message. Maturing. God's intention, God's hope is that each of us as Christians mature. Where are you at in your Christian life? Honestly, think about it for a moment. Are you simply drinking milk? Or are you reading your Bible from time to time and God gives you some meat that just... You say, "Woo, man, I just never saw that before." And, man, he gives you something and you chew on it for a while. Maybe you read your Bible this morning and God gave you a thought and literally you've been thinking about it all day. That's meat. That's good stuff, too. When you get that, that's amazing. What a thrill it is. Let's strive to mature as Christians. Lord, we thank you today again for... God, just how good you are to us. We pray, Lord, that you just bless us, help us, Lord, strengthen us in this maturing process. In Jesus' name, amen.